All right, guys, welcome back. Sam's Army, episode 2.106. We have a lot to talk about, as always. We're going to try and make this one extra quick. I always tell these guys, let's make it quick this time. We'll keep it under an hour. We'll keep it under 45 minutes and never, ever do it. I really think we can make it happen this time. We got Euros, we got Copa semifinals, and they're all happening in the midweek. So this is going to be a real quick. We're going to get you guys up to speed. In and out, and we'll just have some fun with it. And then get another episode in perhaps before the finals and the Gold Cup coming up in the next week or so. But I digress. Let's get back to the matter at hand here. So sit back, relax, and let me welcome in my partners in crime here. First, we got Mitchell Goulet, a.k.a. Overtime Mitch. Great to have you back on the podcast. I was going to ask you about what life is like. I thought maybe you'd been moved back east already, but it sounds like you're still in your Malibu beach house. So you're not in your childhood home quite yet. How's that going?
Yeah, the Tinder out here for the July 4th, everybody's been trying to use me for like my beach house and my boat and everything like that. And it's been, you know, they're transparent about it, which I appreciate.
Buddy, I thought you had me going, man. I was going to ask myself if I could come out and see a time on your boat or something.
Mikey, you can, you're more than welcome to come out on the kayak any time of day.
Thank you so much.
See, at least as long as they're transparent about it. That's all he asks. Okay, Mikey, Tweedle, the other Tweedle here. We got no Larry. We got no Tommy. Tommy's got a game tomorrow. Larry's got practice. They're already practicing. They're getting back in shape. Good for him. Mikey, you are just off a plane. Where are you coming from?
North Carolina.
North Kakalaki. What were you doing down there?
I was down in Holden Beach visiting someone. It was a good time.
Nice. Okay. Sounds fun. It's a little, little July 4th trip.
A listener of the podcast.
Oh, we'll have to be nice. You don't want to give him or her a shout out then?
I'll keep it private.
Okay. Well, thank them for listening, and we'll move on. Let's get moving to the Euros here. So the quarterfinals are done. We are down to the final four teams. I'm officially starting to get a little depressed that the Euros is going to be over soon, but the games have been good. The results have been interesting, and let's just focus on the positive. So the quarterfinals, the results were Spain beat Switzerland on penalties, Italy beat Belgium, Denmark beat Czech Republic, and England shellacked, shall we say, Ukraine. So I guess first question, more philosophical for you boys here. Are we left with the best four teams left in the tournament?
Oof.
No.
Absolutely not, says Mitch.
No. But Mikey's logic is flawed.
The four best teams are left.
Oh, Mikey. I like your
wholeheartedly believe that.
No, I definitely do not. Pablo Sarabia does not start for one of the four best teams in the world.
I think Mitch actually had him as a goal scorer.
I was feeling frosty in that Spanish game, and I put Spain to win and Sarabia to score because he had looked a little threatening here and there.
He's been on fire.
Yeah, so I had him to score. It was like plus 400 or something. So I liked it. As you can tell, he did not score. But I don't know. I kind of wanted Switzerland. As soon as it went to penalties, as soon as the Switzerland got a red card and Spain wasn't able to finish the job, I flipped and said, you know what? I need a Swiss miracle here.
I'm 100% with you. I was the exact same way. I had money on Spain. So I did have a little, I had some skin in the game, but as soon as that red card came through in like whatever minute, was it like the 70 something minute or something like that? As soon as that happened, and you know, first of all, that was controversial. I mean, let's talk about that real quick. Did anybody think that was a red card?
I was the only person on planet Earth who thought so in real time. And then everybody was like, so harsh. I thought he slid kind of late. I think his back, like the trailing leg, the one that's underneath him, kind of was coming in with some force. I don't know. I would have hated to have the tackle happen to me. I'll say that much.
Yeah. I mean, it was a full-blooded challenge, as they say, but I mean, like his top leg that was off the ground didn't get, I think, any of the leg. I just thought it was a yellow card.
The scream got it.
I think it was the yellow. I think there's also something to be said for the the status of the match. I feel like you don't call that red in a Euro quarterfinal. I know that doesn't always play in, especially in, you know, other sports and shit, but I don't know. I don't call that a red. That's a yellow to me.
I think I agree with you in that they should not have called it. Correct. Do you think that would have, if it was a yellow, they would have turned it into a red? No way.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
So that's all you got to know.
I like what you said, Mitch, because having in a, just sort of in your brain, just the context of the situation, what I always go back to is Mark Clattenburg in the Spain-Netherlands World Cup final in, what was that, 2010, I want to say, where Nigel de Jong, like, jumped up and kung fu kicked Xabi Alonso, like, almost in the throat.
Iconic.
and he only, Clattenburg gave him a yellow. And at the time, I had money on Spain in that one, and I was still like, I'm so glad Clattenburg gave him a yellow, because it was 100% a red. And then in the 2021 year of our Lord, especially with VAR, that is a red card all day, every
day. It just happened in Brazil.
Right. Yeah. We'll get to that. But, I mean, listen, it's a red card all day, every day. But the fact that he didn't give a red card, sort of, I was hoping anyway, was going to save the game. That game ended up being a pretty atrocious game, I think, for everybody who was watching. But, like, if it would have been down, if Netherlands had been down a man, it would have completely killed the spectacle in, like, the 15th minute or whatever. So I agree with you, Mitch. Like, you got to have a fuller picture of the context of the situation. And that also plays into the fact it was a controversial red to begin with. So it was too bad. And I think that you and me are probably, there was a lot of people that as soon as Spain got that, you know, man advantage, they went through the 30 minutes of extra time. At that point, we go to penalties. You know, Switzerland's coming off of a comeback win against France where they won in penalties. They came back against Spain. I really thought they were going to go through. Like, I thought Switzerland was going to get it done. Jan Sommer had such a good game.
He's awesome.
I'm not big on giving keepers credit, but, like, obviously he played really well. And I just thought that their penalties in the France game were so on point that I was like, they're going to get this. They deserve this. You know, they made it through 30 minutes of down a man. I just thought they were going to get it done. And then their penalties were absolutely atrocious. Like,
everyone's were.
Right, across the board. Spain wasn't that much better, but they did.
Why is that? I feel like maybe it's just a concentration of penalties we've seen in the last, like, month in the same.
Or shouldn't be, at least.
Yeah. Maybe we're just built different. Who knows?
I think that we're probably a lot better.
Yes, well, that goes without saying, but yeah.
I literally can't believe what I was watching when that was happening yesterday, because as it goes on, like, you've watched, I don't know how many of these games, penalties have just been automatic for most of these shootouts, I guess, until the fifth shooter, obviously. But I was pretty stunned. I enjoyed watching it that way, to be honest with you.
It was interesting. Listen, Spain moves on. We'll give them credit. They moved on. I didn't think they deserved it, but listen, deserve is a naughty word in soccer. You should never use deserve. Belgium, Italy. Let's move on. So Belgium lost 2-1 to Italy. I said a million times, I'm sure everybody thought it the same way. Like, if KDB is in this game, like, Belgium is a different team. Well, KDB was in the 11. I got a bit of a boner, probably laid a little bit too much money on this game. And KDB was a non-factor. I mean, like, he was playing on torn.
Not healthy.
Yeah, he was playing on torn ligaments. He just was not a factor. And I thought that was the difference in the game. I mean, Italy's a very solid team, and Belgium just didn't get it done without KDB.
Hindsight's 20/20, but if you're KDB, I'm sorry, if you're a Belgium fan, which, you know, fiscally you were, do you prefer KDB to play in this game injured and take up a spot, or do you prefer somebody to take his spot, him to rest up, and for him to stay healthy for the potential next game?
Hindsight 20/20, 100% would not prefer KDB to play, right? Because, like, he was a complete non-factor, and he was taking up a spot that somebody like Mertens or whoever could have, you know, at least tried to do something. So, yeah, hindsight, like, 100%. I'm sure he probably feels the same way. I mean, like, he's taken his career into his hands by playing in that game if he's got a serious ligament injury. So I guess credit to KDB for muscling it out or whatever, or taking however many pain drugs he needed to take. But, like, in retrospect, you got to say it was a mistake, both for him to do it and for the for Martinez to play him, right? I mean, because he just was not out there at all. It sucked.
Let's give a good shout out then. Let's switch that around. How impressive was Doku?
Yeah.
He looked like he was trying to win the entire tournament every time he touched on the ball.
Every time.
Incredible. I loved it.
Yeah, he was out of this world. That little tidbit from the announcer about Mbappe being jealous of his pace, as because they're like really good friends, was really great. I enjoyed every bit of it. Lukaku obviously close on a couple occasions, but yeah, I think Italy was, you know, better today, and unfortunately for them,
prayers out to Spinazzola.
Spinazzola was, you know, probably the reason a lot of people thought they were going to end up winning this whole thing, you know, the way that him and Insigne were playing together. So Emerson makes them a very pedestrian team down that wing now. So,
yeah, they're a different team without Spinazzola. I mean, coming into the tournament, you wouldn't have said that, but I mean, he had man of the match against Turkey. He had man of the match against Austria. He had we talk about Belgium not beating Italy in this game, but Spinazzola had essentially a game saving save off of the line on Lukaku. So, and then he tears his Achilles. Like, that's just, that's the worst. You got to feel for him and for Italy. That's going to be big for them, you know?
I'm excited to see what happens here. Because Italy was playing where Spinazzola would bomb up the wing like a left winger, and the back four would turn to a back three. And it allowed Insigne to cut inside and free up. I mean, that system had been clicking, but I guess we'll see what happens now. Also, Sam, my best bet of Immobile scoring was the ultimate jinx again. He was dog shit.
I do have it written down that we're going to talk about him. I was going to wait till later, but I guess we can talk about it now. His famed injury where he fell down and then like they scored.
Non-story.
Oh my God. The mainstream, just not mainstream media so much as just like everybody on Twitter. We're just having a field day with that. You know, just this is what soccer is all about. This is why I can't respect the sport.
Non-story.
I saw some people blowing it out of proportion to the point where they wanted him to get fined and shit. And it's like, you know, this has been going on for years and years. This is just how things happen. But this one instance that you happen to catch on camera in a concentrated 15-second clip is the one that pisses you off. Shut up.
Thank you.
Is people looking for a reason to talk shit? I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, for every Ciro Immobile, you know, fall on the ground, grab your knee, and then just like jump up and run over. You also get like a Thomas Suchek where you catch like a boot to the head and you got like a, you know, a gash. And Giroud is always the one who's got the bandages on his forehead. But, you know, it's just a ridiculous thing.
I'm far more concerned with his inability to score than I am with him flopping around like that right now.
Well, then you should definitely not pick him to score next game if you want him to score. I mean,
I'm hot as hell right now, huh?
As hot as they come in terms of fading, yes. Cannot beat where you're coming from.
I mean, I am on an all-time tear right now.
Other two games, Czech Republic lost 1-2 to Denmark. Denmark went up. The team of destiny, I thought they were going to just sort of roll through this game when they went up 2-0 in the first half. But credit to Czech. You know, they bounced back, made it a game. I don't really have anything else to say. It's like Denmark just seemed like they were the better team, but Czech Republic, you know, they made a game of it. Anything else we got from this?
Yeah, Patrick Schick can't stop scoring either.
And he only scores, like, you talk about people who only score, like, impressive or attractive goals. That guy scores nothing but, like, nice goals. He's not like a tap-in merchant. He's like the opposite of a tap-in merchant. I mean, he scores nice, nice goals.
Yeah, it drives me nuts.
Like, are you still on the train that Patrick Schick is not that impressive, that he's...
I can't be anymore. So, I mean, and now that his tournament's over, I guess, like, he wins because I'm not going to jinx him either, so...
well, I've been sort of sold on Italy. Because I talked as much about Italy as you did Schick, so...
I can't wait for Everton to buy him for $65 million.
And him to do absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that's
his seven goal season.
That's his destiny. That's absolutely his destiny.
Let's round out the quarterfinals here. Ukraine 0, England 4. Wow. I mean,
Ukraine was just happy to be here, man. We don't even need to, like, that game was pretty clear what it was from the jump.
from the absolute jump. Like, England just took it to them from the first kickoff. I don't even think Ukraine touched the ball before England scored their first goal. Or maybe even their second goal. It was that was a demolition. Yeah, I was going to say, is this Ukraine bad or England good? I think you sound like Ukraine bad. I agree. I thought this was more about Ukraine than it was about England.
I think so too. I really did not. I did not enjoy it. I thought I would, and then I started watching. I was like, oh, that's what we're getting.
Yeah, I was. So, I was still bored. I was watching England score, and I was still bored. They didn't play a real enticing brand for an average fan, and I don't know. They deserved the win, but I wasn't. It didn't do anything for me.
I was happy for Harry Kane because I just think he gets more shit than he probably deserves.
You just talked to me too much.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, I'm on a podcast with sometimes three Tweedledums of Arsenalville. So yeah,
clearly enough hate.
Okay.
I don't think he gets nearly enough hate.
Of course not. Well, if he moves to City, then are you going to continue it? Sort of the lingering hate from his Tottenham days, or
okay. The only one that gets a pass now is Christian Eriksen because he's I'm rooting for him.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I appreciate your animosity.
Always
lingering animosity.
I have Denmark beating England 1-0 because I love a frustrating.
This is predictions. No, power rankings. We're doing power rankings first.
Didn't we already get past that? And then you were moving on to who's going first in the predictions.
Power rankings and predictions kind of hand in hand.
We can. I was going to say that they're not, but you know what? Fuck it. You're right. Let's. So it's totally fine. So did we just basically start with Denmark, England?
I said Denmark to beat England 1-0, and then I said Italy to beat Spain 2-0.
Okay. And then did you go two more, Mitch?
I like just started before. I was going to say, I think this Spanish team is a hell of a lot better than a lot of people have given them credit for. And I think they've learned to play together throughout the tournament. I still think Italy beat them 2-0. And I think England take care of business again.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. All right. Very interesting. I'm going to start with Italy, Spain. I think that the Spinazzola injury is going to be huge for that, you know, just sort of dynamic. I don't want to say he's papered over cracks in the Bonucci-Chiellini partnership because they've been much better. I talk a lot of shit about them coming in. They've been much better than I was thinking they were going
to
be.
You were ready to put them in a home.
I was. I was basically like saying shoot him like a horse. And they've been quite good, especially Bonucci. They've been very good. I will give them credit. I've come around on Italy. I was big, you know, I think as far as people on the podcast, I was by far the biggest hater of Italy coming into the tournament. But listen, they've been very good. I think Spain's better. I just think Spain's a better team. They had that quintessential Italy feel to them where they got a really slow start to the tournament. But I think they've been coming into it. I think Spinazzola not being there is going to hurt. I've got Spain beating Italy and then in England, Denmark. This one I'm really split on. So the game is in London. All the games from here on out are in London. Let's keep that in mind because I think it's actually big. But I'm hugely torn on England, Denmark. My heart is all the way in on Denmark at this point. Like, I want Denmark to win the tournament. I've been saying from the beginning that I think England is going to win. And they've gotten the luck that they needed for that to actually happen. You know, like France shitting themselves, Belgium, KDB going down. They needed a couple things to happen. Those things have happened. So I really do think England is the team, the best team left. So if we're going to do power rankings, I would have England as my number one team. I'm going to be pulling for Denmark, but I think England pulls it out, especially at home. I just got England. So do we all have England then? Or no, Mikey, what did you say? I can't remember what you said and what you thought and what you wanted. They're all like different.
I have the same as you.
Okay. All right. So there we go.
Worth noting just how many home games England has had. Also,
all but one, I think.
Also, they haven't conceded a goal all tournament.
Worth pointing out.
Is Denmark the team that breaks that?
That's a really good point.
No,
the one that
I don't think it is. I don't think Denmark scores. So. And I don't think that's so much on Jordan Pickford, by the way. Jordan Pickford's been getting all this credit. Like, he's been fine. He hasn't been bad. He hasn't pulled a Jordan Pickford which is, you know, just completely dropped the ball in his own goal. He hasn't done that once, obviously. So credit to him for that. But yet, the England defense has been lights out. Like the Maguire, Mings, John Stones, those guys, they have been like
they've given up awesome. Chances. I think Pickford's had to make a couple saves that, you know, maybe you wouldn't make, but
that's not saying much, but yes.
I think that's the point. I will tell you one thing and one thing only, and get nearly enough conversation around his name as I've learned to see that he deserves this calendar year of watching him play. I think he's fantastic. John Stones, I think, is fantastic.
I've been talking him up for a while now. I know Ruben Diaz sort of stole a lot of the shine from his Premier League season, which I do understand, because Ruben Diaz is the man. But John Stones, you know, after how much shit he got for the first year or two when he was at City and the way it went down, you know, that him leaving and getting bought for a ton of money and coming over and basically like disappointing, like for him to sort of reemerge the way he has, like that takes some serious cojones. So credit to him. I'm actually happy for him. And you're right. He has been really good for the last year or so.
Really good.
Very good. And he's been scoring goals too. Like it wasn't just on defense.
Yeah. But I don't want to shout out Slabhead, but he played well as well.
He did. And it was a nice goal. Nice goal. I mean, him in the air he's tough.
Head is far too big.
It is. It's a weapon. It's a real weapon. Got to give it to him. So there's the semifinals. Finals coming up on Sunday, I believe. So stay tuned. Buckle up. Let's move on to Copa America. As we said before jumping on, I thought maybe when we hit the knockouts, I was going to be like, okay, now I'm all in on Copa America. It just hasn't happened. It has not grasped my imagination the way I thought it might. I don't know what the, you know, reasoning for that, like no fans, perhaps less sort of pub from Fox. I don't know what the deal is, but I have not gotten sort of really fully engrossed in this competition. And maybe it's the fact that there's been no surprises. Like, so we're down to the semifinals now, and it is Brazil playing Peru and Argentina, Colombia. I guess you could say Peru making the semifinals is arguably a bit of a, you know, upset. That's just the way that the draw shook out. Like I thought Ecuador maybe might be the fourth best team, but like Brazil, Argentina and Colombia still being alive, we're basically at chalk and we're now at the semifinals. And on one side is Brazil, on the other side is Messi. And that's what has to happen here, right?
It seems almost destined that it's going to be a Brazil-Argentina final. I kind of share that sentiment that I haven't really cared about this like I have the Euros. Maybe it's like the lack of marquee players. I mean, there's nobody – I'm not watching Peru-Paraguay because I want to see, you know, anybody, really. I'm watching Peru-Paraguay games. But it's not due to lack of chances. People just aren't finishing. And because of that, we haven't seen the highlights, which – bring over the casual fans. I could go through the whole butterfly effect, but overall low scoring games, lack of marquee players compared to the Euros. And I think ESPN has done kind of a better job than Fox at marketing it.
Yeah. I fully agree with the marketing aspect of it. Messi having the brace that he did the other day, coupled with the fact that Brazil is looking like it's cruising into the watch this tournament as if we don't get a Brazil-Argentina final. No chance. So naturally, I believe Colombia will beat Argentina just because of the whole way this is shaping out.
Right. I mean, listen, Fox has got to be just praying to get Brazil and Argentina the final, because other than that, they're going to have a real tough time getting people to watch.
I don't know. I don't know. They're going to have a tough time getting people to watch anyways, but Brazil, Argentina will get at least the casual.
For sure. For sure. I think that Brazil just by itself and Messi by himself, like those are two things that I think people will glom onto and actually show up and watch. When is the final? Is it Saturday?
It's the day.
Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Saturday.
Saturday night. Okay. So hopefully we got a Brazil, Argentina. Hopefully as a Team Messi, you know, dyed in the wool member, you know, it would be good to get him that trophy that like everybody says his resume lacks. So something to watch for, worth watching.
It certainly does lack.
Well, it does. Yes. It is a hole, but it doesn't make him less of a man, less of a player, less of a little man god. I mean, he's just, listen, don't come at me. Don't come at me like that. Mr. Pinaldo,
I'm not Team Pinaldo whatsoever. I'm Team Messi, but I do believe that this Argentina crop has been a huge disappointment.
That's absolutely fair. I still blame Higuain for costing the World Cup. But I
will blame whoever kept starting him.
That's true too. That's fair. Who was it at that point? It wasn't Maradona.
No idea.
Maradona was coaching him for.
It was
while.
Probably the Boca Juniors coach or something.
River or Boca? Yeah, I think that's fair.
Bielsa.
Let's go quickly. Best bets. So we got all sorts of options here. I guess we're gonna go if we go
stop. I'm gonna stop doing best bets.
You're just out. You're costing people money by not doing best bets. You know that, right?
You're saving people money.
I'm vetoing my best bets.
No,
I'm
you're
passing.
Costing them because now they can't fade you.
All right, fine. I'll give away money. I'll partake, but begrudgingly.
Okay.
I'll really continue to go with what I believe to be the best bet. So that way I'm not like reverse jinxing you guys.
Exactly.
And everything
like that. Don't get in that Ben Mintz situation where
that's not good.
Questioning all your
screwing people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nobody's going to win money following my bet. So naturally I'm going to give them out. I mean, if you want to do a little value, I would really like to see regulation England, Denmark draw at plus 270.
How do you even fade that?
You bet a winner.
You bet over 0.5 goals in regulation time at like minus 4,000.
Shit. All right, fine. I'll give out a better one to fade. I believe that happening. And first goal, I'm doubling down. First goal scorer, England, Spain is Ciro Immobile. First goal scorer.
There you go.
And the bet is going to be, I got to find out the first goal scorer odds. Plus 575, giving it to you for free.
I can't believe it's only 575, to be honest. I thought it was going to have another zero in there.
Morata's going to score the first goal now, guaranteed.
You know it. It's going to be a tap-in, too.
It's going to be absolutely guaranteed. Could I take Pedri to not sprint once at plus or negative 200? Have you noticed he plays the game at a slow, steady jog? It's amazing to watch.
He's been called the next Iniesta.
He just cruises around the field the whole time. Him and Busquets is lovely to watch.
Didn't I see a stat though that he covered more ground than anybody on the field?
Correct. Probably, and he does it without ever sprinting, not once.
Which is all the more impressive, to be honest.
Yeah, he's one Raquel May's Spanish clone.
Like a shark. You just got to keep moving at all times.
It's stunning. It's stunning how good this guy is.
You got a best bet for us, Mitch?
I do. I like Brazil to cover tonight, -2 against Peru. That's not nearly as exotic. But if we do want an exotic one, I like – man, I don't know. I don't know. I like Insigne to score.
Oh, I love that.
I like Insigne to score against Spain.
We didn't even say that goal he scored against Belgium. Every time I see it, it gets better. Oh. It gets classier.
Sam, I hate to break it to you, but I've been telling you that I've seen that goal 100 times from him by now.
It did look like he'd done
I watched a lot of Napoli. I don't understand how you can let him cut on his right there.
You know that's exactly what he wants to do every time he was curl at far posts, and it's like clockwork.
Vermaelen couldn't move his crutches up 1 foot to block the shot.
I mean, listen, that's what you get when you got Vertonghen. We've been saying it this whole tournament: Vertonghen, Alderweireld, and Vermaelen. I mean, it was going to
ended up as the demise,
and it did. Still, just a beautiful goal. So Insigne to score. It's not a bad one. My best bet. I'm going to go real easy. Like, I think Argentina beats Colombia. I think we'll get that Brazil-Argentina. Go for it. Sorry, my internet is shady as hell.
Okay. No, it's okay. I like that. I like that bet a lot. I mean, I hope I fucking like that bet. It needs to happen.
Exactly. Throw Fox a bone.
You're basically doing that thing where you bet on your favorite team and compound happen. Yeah. What you're doing right now. 100%. That's a bad way to gamble.
It's 100%. And I'm a bad gambler, so yeah, it really makes a lot of sense.
We got something going here now. We got the world's worst gambler on one side, and then a guy who literally risks his entire life on the other side. This is good.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. What do we got left? We got Goas. We got Goas for the week. Oh,
it's got to be Spinazzola.
I mean, that's fair. I was going to I spit roast it once before, and I was going to spit roast it again with Spinazzola on one side, like the good one, and then Immobile on the other side with his fading injury thing.
So you prepped way long ago and knew that you were going to shit on.
Yes. Oh, I had that in my mind all along.
Because he deserved all the negative.
All along, I had it in my mind. If I'm going to throw out one more go, if you're going to take Immobile from me so I can't use him, or Spinazzola, sorry. I want to give out a shout out to, I'm going to take it, we're going to go far out of left field and say Nashville FC. So they beat Philly. I know we haven't talked nearly enough about MLS lately, and we'll get more into that as soon as like the Euros and Copa have come and gone. But like Nashville beat Philly, and they beat them like soundly 1-0. Like, they're just not getting enough credit for where they're at in the table.
They've beaten the Revs.
They've how many losses do they have? Nashville has one loss on the season, one loss in 11 games. That's incredible. Well done to Nashville and Dax McCarty and the rest of the team. CJ Sabong, like basically the old Fire team, is now down in Nashville winning games. While, you know, the Fire have been shitting themselves for weeks and weeks and weeks. Although I say that, and they just beat Atlanta. So that was very nice.
The Revs crew game was good, too, for all my MLS lovers out there.
Yes, Revs. And their Columbus opened that was their stadium opening. And the Revs went up 2-0. And Columbus stormed back and got to, I think it was 2-2 draw. So I really took us far afield of what we were talking about. Anybody else got a Goa?
I do. One of them was going to be just the Columbus Stadium.
All right. A lot of MLS here. I like it.
And in the MLS, or sorry, in MLS, and that is building soccer-specific stadiums with an American flair to them. I feel like a lot of stadiums here in the U.S. could use an upgrade. So one of my goas is the Columbus Crew and whoever built that stadium, the crew that built that stadium. and that was horrible. I apologize for that.
That was a dead joke.
And then my second goa is Olivia Moultrie, who came on as the youngest NWSL player ever two nights ago at 15 years old and won her legal dispute with the NWSL and is going to become the greatest player of all time.
There is a lot to that story that, like, it's tough to, like, get all of it in there. But, like, she, just for people who haven't followed it at all, she's a 15-year-old. She's been trying to play for the Thorns for a while now. And basically the Thorns are like, we can't sign you. We're not allowed to because of some sort of, you know, work restrictions. And NWSL was basically saying the same thing, like, sorry, we just can't. So she was screwed. She couldn't go abroad because she's too young. And she couldn't play in the NWSL because she was too young too, but she's clearly plenty good, which is basically what the whole thing is all about. And so it was so crazy, but she won a legal argument, or at least an early preliminary win. And so she was allowed to play for the Thorns, and she went in and played. I mean, it's a great story. And yes, you're right. She's going to be really good. I mean, she's 15 and already, you know, looking like she belongs there. So. Good call out of that one.
The real deal. And her argument was basically like, hey, if I was born anywhere else, I would be able to play. Or if I was born a guy.
All right, we're almost done here. But and now that Yadi's came sat down next to me and is crying, just chill out, puppy. So quickly, before we finish up, I actually have a best bet and a Goa from Tommy, who says he, you know, he came up with these while at practice today, and he texted them to me. So a little, I'll slip these in here. He's got Denmark to score in the first 20 minutes of the game. I don't know what the odds on that are or if you can find them, but if you can, he loves that. That's out of left field. I love it. Well done, Tommy. And then his Goa is Kasper Hjelmand, who is the manager of the Danish. He's heavy on Denmark here. He's the coach of the Denmark national team, and he's Tommy's Goa because he put the University of North Florida Ospreys on the global soccer map because he actually played for the University of North Florida in 1994. 6 goals in 18 appearances is, I believe, what I read when he played for University of North Florida that one season. So well done, Tommy, on the best bet in Goa. Get it in there just before the bell. And that's all we got. So let's close up shop. I know the internet here has been questionable at best. So I hope, Mikey, you can sort of edit these different segments together and it doesn't sound too terrible. Mikey, Mitch, you guys are the best. Thank you for spending some of your basically vacation time with us here. And thank you guys, listeners. You guys are the best. Can't thank you enough. And let's go enjoy some some Euros semifinals, some Copa semifinals, and then we'll be back for the finals. Take care, guys.